Okay, joining us now, well, she's been dominating in the moguls. She won 14 World Cup races this season out of 16 events. That's the most by any skier in a single campaign. What a season she's had. Jacara Anthony is joining us. Jacara, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well, thanks.
So what aspect of your sport did you improve to result in such a dominant season?
A little bit of improvement across the board, but I think the biggest gains we saw this season were in the speed. You know, I was skiing a lot faster on average and closing the gap to those fastest girls in the field, which was really exciting to see.
So to what extent could you also see frustration in your competitors, Jacara?
I can imagine it was pretty frustrating for them when you can't really crack that top spot because someone's just dominating it. I've been in that similar sort of position before, and yeah, it definitely makes you hungrier to go away and work on it.
Jacara, do you get a bit of a break now? Do you get time to actually celebrate and enjoy your success?
I get a little bit of a break. I had 3 days in my own bed, which was nice. But heading off to Japan for 10 days tomorrow, go for a bit of a ski, and then I'll get a break.
And what about the moguls? You mentioned speed, and obviously there's jumps and turns involved in it as well. But is that something that you really worked hard on, that speed this year? But how do you go about with all the three elements? Like, what do you specialise in? Are you better at one than the other? Like, tell us a bit about the sport itself, but also the elements of the sport.
There are a lot of elements to the sport, like you said. So the turns count for 60% of our score, the jumps are 20%, and the speed's 20%. And my favourite is definitely the turns, and that makes up the biggest chunk. So we put a lot of focus there. But we also spend a lot of time in the off-season training our jumps. We've got plastic ramps into a pool at the Jeff Henke Training Centre in Brisbane. And then the speed aspect too. We can only really train that when we're on snow, and that's a bit of like a fear tolerance thing. You know, I'm strong enough and my technical skills are good enough to ski really fast, but it's scary. You know, there are genuine risks to our sports and extreme sports, so kind of getting used to that.
Yeah. Am I right in saying that you were the only girl a couple of years ago to do the Cork 720 mute? And
Yeah.
And so you've perfected that, but now the other girls are starting to do it. So is there something else that you've got up your sleeve leading into the Olympics that you think will give you the edge?
Yeah, so that Olympic season was when I started competing the Cork 720 mute, and I was the only girl to be doing it at the time. And it's been really cool to see a lot of other chicks coming out and trying it ever since then. So I'm pretty proud to have started that progression. But like you said, the girls' jumps, they're progressing really fast, and I think it's going to keep on that trajectory for the next few years. So we'll definitely be working on the water ramp, learning some new skills, getting better at the ones that I do have, and we'll see where we get to, but it's not a quick process to introduce new things like that.
Love to see you do a Cork 720 mute, Loz.
How'd you go? I haven't.
How'd you go? You reckon? Yeah. How'd you go?
I just do the flip.
You mean the human snowball?
Yeah. Land on the front. The spread eagle.
I've done a few of them myself.
Jacara, in regards to Olympic preparation, so you've got obviously 2026 in Italy. When's your prep start for the Winter Olympics, or when did your focus just go to that?
To be honest, the focus shifts to the next Olympics straight after you finish the last one. So yeah, okay. After Beijing 2022, we put together a bit of a plan for what we want to achieve over the 4 years leading into 2026. And we do our best to go away and work on those skills and try execute them and give me the best opportunity possible to go out there and ski the run that we all know that I'm capable of at those Olympics. And we're actually going to have dual moguls in Milano Cortina for the very first time. So we're going to have two cracks at a gold medal, which is super exciting.
With the dual moguls then, how does that work? What's the biggest challenge? And do you have a partner locked in?
So you don't ski with a partner. Right. So you ski against the whole rest of the field, same as single moguls, but they do like brackets. So you'll ski, it's like knockout rounds. So right. They'll send two of you down the course at a time. Judges are watching you both, and they have points to split between you.
Oh, right. And so then it's the not a team goes, as such.
Like no, yeah. Maybe one day we'll have a team event. We've tested that, and that's really fun. But in the Olympics, it's just going to be by gender. But, yeah, knockout rounds, so you get the winner. And speed becomes even more important in that sport. So we'll keep working on that for sure.
Jakara, are you holding anything back for the time being, jumps-wise? Are you doing stuff in training that you probably won't introduce to competition, probably, you know, until you get closer towards the games in 2 years? Or do you just, you know, whatever you've got in your arsenal, you just bring it all out now?
What I've got now is working really well, but I think everyone in mogul skiing has a bigger repertoire of tricks on the water ramps than they do on snow. You know, there's a lot less consequences there, so you're able to throw some bigger tricks, try new stuff, where it still hurts if you don't land on your feet, but not so much as snow. So I think everyone across the whole field has more than they're showing.
And what about in the next 12 months? You've got the World Championships coming up in Switzerland. It sounds, oh, it's got a good ring to it, hasn't it? Olympic champion and World Cup champion.
Yeah, Olympic champion, World Cup champion. I am not world champion yet. So I've never secured that World Championships gold medal. So that's definitely going to be a big target for us over the next year. But we've also got a lot of things we're working on technically with the skiing. You know, me, my coach Pete, Kate, my whole support team, we've got all these goals we want to work towards with strength and conditioning on the snow, with my jumps, the mental side of things. So there's stuff outside the results too that are driving me, which I think is really important as well.
Yeah. Are you a goal setter?
Yeah, I think you have to set goals. You know, I've tended to avoid them at times because that little bit of fear of failure comes up. You know, what if I fall short? But by setting those goals, you definitely do end up achieving more than if you didn't at all, even if you do fall short, you know.
Yeah. So, well, Mido mentioned before you won 14 out of the 16 races. Is a goal to win the whole 16?
The goal wasn't actually the results. I unfortunately can't control the results, no matter how well I ski. You know, someone could go and one-up me, which would be awesome to see. They'd ski a very good run if they did. But my goals are kind of more around the way that I want to ski the moguls, the jumps that I want to do, how I want to execute them, and speeds that I want to be skiing.
How did you get involved in skiing? Because I was reading that you loved your surfing.
I do love surfing, and I was born in Cairns in Queensland and now live on the surf coast in Victoria in Byron Head. So doesn't quite add up that I ski, but my parents met way back at Mount Buller in Victoria. So they were working up there for the season. And then when they had my brother and I, they decided we'd go up there for the winter. We'd go to the local primary school and we'd get to ski as a family. It would be a sport that we could forever do as a family.
Yeah, you mentioned Mount Buller, and you know, you followed the Australian pathway in regards to your support crew and your coaching team as well. I guess for fledgling skiers here, Jakara, you've shown it can all be done here. Instead of, you know, obviously going to Europe and having to spend a fortune to go and sort of advance your career over there, it can be done here in skiing.
Yeah, we actually do have great facilities in Australia and some really good terrain. You know, I've had some of my favourite ski days ever at Mount Buller, and it's just such a fun place. And especially for freestyle skiing, you know, we've got an Olympic training centre at Buller with a great course on chamois for the younger guys. And then as you kind of progress through the ranks at Perisher in New South Wales, we've got a massive mogul course that you could hold an Olympics or a World Cup on that. It's actually one of the most difficult courses we ski. So we're really lucky to have those facilities in Australia.
And the New South Wales Institute of Sport has had a big impact as well, I'm sure, Jakara.
Yeah, I think I've been on scholarship with New South Wales Institute of Sport for must be 10 years or a little longer now. So they've been there through the majority of my journey, and the servicing and the opportunities they've been able to provide for me have been pretty game-changing in getting me to where I am today.
What's your favourite place to compete at?
I love competing. I have a new one. I like competing in Alpe d'Huez in France, but my all-time favourite is Deer Valley in Utah. They just put on such a great event, and I love the way that they build the course there.
Put it on the bucket list.
most definitely, Mido, most definitely. Yeah. I'm not a skier. So, Jakara, what advice would you give to me, not being a skier? I've tried it a number of times, and I get really embarrassed.
Did you get lessons?
Well, this is where I'm going. They gave me the lesson with little 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 5-year-olds going down the little...
You've got to start somewhere, buddy.
Mate, I'm telling you, it's the most embarrassing thing I've ever done. And I lasted about an hour and a half and I got the, you know, watts because I was just falling down and little kids were going past me. And I've never taken it back up. I thought, no, skiing's not for me. So what should I do?
I was definitely one of those little kids skiing past you, sorry imagine. To say.
They'd be looking at you. They're looking at you going, can't you get up, you idiot?
No, but in all honesty, just keep having a crack. You know, it is it is a very skill-based sport, so it is hard to learn. But, like, we love seeing people getting out there trying to learn, and definitely taking lessons is the way to go, you know. You're going to set yourself up for a bit more long-term success and to be a bit safer on the slopes if you go down that route. Doesn't make it any easier, but it'll be worth it in the long run.
Well, we go on a skiing holiday, and I'm the only one in the family that doesn't ski.
Oh, no, that can't be fun. Yeah. No, you're better off getting out and having a crack, even if you fall.
Yeah,
get
but
up
I, get, I get upset with myself.
Why don't you do... You're allowed to book one-on-one lessons if you're embarrassed to do it in front of seven-year-olds.
That's what you should do, Loss.
No, but I don't mind going around and just people watching either. Go down to the coffee shops and just look at people.
I think you want to ski. Try snowboarding. Yeah,
anyway, it's not about me. It's about you, Jakara. Sorry.
Jakara, congratulations on a great season, and we'll be tracking your progress naturally towards the next games and, of course, the World Championships next year as well. But thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.